So last week I talked about the word of faith. And we're going to go to a lot of scriptures, so if you need scratch paper so you can mark these down. I can't read as fast as Pastor Don does, but I've never seen anybody read that fast. But I can read fairly fast. Scriptures are going to fly tonight. Hallelujah. Because if you are weak, you are strong. If you are poor, you are rich. And if you're sick, you are healed. Hallelujah. So, last week was the faith. And Romans, just a recap, this one part here. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In this camp, we preach faith. We preach the word of God, which is faith. Hallelujah. But then I was looking at this, and when I told Dwayne, I says, I have part two, honey. What do I do with part two? Do I just shelf it? What do I do? And he says, well, you better go with it. And so this week we're going to talk about adding to your faith. I thought, oh, that's right. You get the measure at salvation, but you can add to it, just like a measuring cup, like I said last week. So we're going to look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Hallelujah. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. We're just going to stop right there, because then we'll get into self-control, and that's what I'm working on. Okay? So I don't like to teach on something that I don't have or I'm not there yet. So we'll just stop at verse 5. We want to add to that faith so we can have self-control. Hallelujah. And then we're going to look at the word power. And I know there's the dunamis power of God. This is power where we're talking right now is it means virtue, strength, and energy. I don't know about how many of you, but I could use more virtue, more strength, and more energy. Hallelujah. And so we're going to look at this word power as we go through. We're going to look at three examples of power, or we could say three examples of virtue. And the first one is Mark 5. Mark 5. And I know this is the woman with the issue of blood. And I know we've heard this a lot. But you know what? This is a testimony to this woman, how much she's preached about. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Okay? And let's start at 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better but grew worse. Then she heard about Jesus, and she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from the affliction. And Jesus immediately, he didn't have to wait for this, immediately he knew. Knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this. He knew who had done it, but he wanted her to confess to be who she was and why she touched him. He wasn't mad at her. But remember, when you get healed, you have to confess that. It helps others when you confess your healing. Okay. Let's see. Verse 33. But the woman, feared and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." When I looked at that and I saw this and I said, "My goodness, Lord." This woman suffered for 12 years. 12 years. I remember when I was a young girl and I had an issue of blood, and how weak you got in just a week, and how faint you felt, and how all you wanted to do was sleep and rest. So I put myself in that position. I said, "Okay, Lord, this was only for a week." But this woman was for 12 years, spent every single penny she had, it sounds like, and grew worse. She had a need. When she heard about Jesus, she knew he was the need maker. He would take away that need that she had and give her her healing. That was in verse 27. And verse 28, her faith, for she said, "If I could just touch his clothes, if I could just touch his clothes." That is simplest faith, just to touch someone's clothes, someone, Jesus, and virtue went out of him and healed her instantly. But there's a thing. I remember someone who used to come up and give me hugs, and I could feel like something just coming out of my gut and going into her. And I thought, that's what he's talking about. I remembered that. He just gave me kind of that little picture of, I remember when someone is full of God, and I didn't even know it. But I gave her a hug, and just like, pow, right there it was. It just felt like, oh, I knew something happened. So I said, "Oh, that's what you felt, Jesus. That's what you felt. That's when you lay hands on people, that's what you feel. Not all the time, but there's that connection when somebody has connected with you and they said, you've got what I need. You've got Jesus. Come lay hands on me. Oh, let me touch you." And the power of God goes into them. Not because you're anything, but because Jesus lives in you. Hallelujah. So this is what this woman was experiencing. And I don't know about you, but if you knew something was gone and you were sneaking up to get your healing, you wouldn't want to tell anybody because you would be afraid. Because like the story has said, the people with blood issues didn't come out in the public, weren't around people. Okay? So she was stepping out big time in faith. But after 12 years, that's a long time. All right. So Jesus knew that power had gone out. And he wanted to know who did it. So he looked around and he saw her, but he was just waiting for her to admit what she did. Okay. And then we have the same story in Luke 8. Let's go over to Luke 8. Because when I'm studying, I like to go through, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they have similar stories, only like each person, when we, like Pastor Don preaches, or Pastor Carolyn, or Dwayne, or I, we each see something in a different perspective. We hear things in a different way. And so when we each talk, you get something different. It's the same word, but there's different perspectives on it. So Luke 8, let me get there. 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could but be no better by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs and presses you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." So it's that power of God we want to talk about tonight. And there's different areas of how the power works, okay? This woman had faith. She just said, "If I can do this, I'm going to be healed." Now we're going to look at something else about this. Well, let's finish this up. The woman made a demand on the power, or we could say the anointing in Jesus, and it was released from him by her faith. Someone was hungry for the power of God. Someone was hungry to be healed. We make a demand every time we come to church, and it's been said before, we make a demand on if we're just going to come and just listen to the word, or if we're going to pull and get what we need. Because whenever we stand up here, God knows you have needs, and he'll talk to exactly to you and your need. All we do, and sometimes when we start talking, we just, whoa, I wasn't going to go there. But because there's a need, and because there's a pull, you get what you need from us, from the Word, because he wants you. You could be talking to God before you even came here, and God heard you. And God will say something during the service, some part, maybe even a song, and it'll be just for you. That's how the anointing works. It's power just for you. Though it's for everybody, that power is it targets you. If you come in and you're hungry, there it goes. If you need something, there it is. So this is, we're going to talk about the second person. And this is the story of the paraplegic. I know last week we talked about the issue of blood and her faith. And then we talked about the paraplegic and his four friends. Because I was talking to the Lord. I said, I hadn't read this one scripture. There was four guys. Okay. Because when they were putting him down, one of the ones says his friends. Well, in the other one, it just didn't say how many friends let him down. There could have been two. There could have been six. Okay? So I like those little details that other scriptures tell you. So the story of the paraplegic, we talked about his friend's faith. But let's look at Mark 2. Mark 2. And let's go to verse 1. Let's start with verse 1. And again, entering Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house, Jesus was in the house, immediately many gathered together so that they were no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And Jesus preached the word to them. Whenever Jesus came around, they knew that he was going to have something for them. And he taught them the word of God. And so people gathered to hear what he had to say, because what he always said was important, and it changed lives and it healed people. And I'm sure at the beginning of his ministry, as the ministry grows and people from around heard about all the things that Jesus was doing, of course, it's kind of like Benny Hinn meeting. You hear Benny Hinn's coming to town. Oh, well, let's just go and check it out. Okay? And people were flocking in, and there's just one small house. Well, it had to be a fairly large house, but we don't know. It doesn't really say how big it was. verse 3. And they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic laid. And we talked about Jesus saw their faith. Faith can be seen last week. Well, Jesus saw their faith in verse 5, and he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, he could have said anything, but he saw his friend's faith, and they're the ones. You know, sometimes when you're sick, you don't want to go anyplace. You just want to stay at home and nurture your wounds, I call them. Well, his friends apparently had great faith. They had faith to drag this guy on his bed, tear up somebody's roof, put him down in front of there. But maybe that man's faith wasn't quite like it should be. But Jesus spoke right to him. We don't know what the sin was, or it's his sins. But they're forgiven you. And then later on, he just tells him to get up and take your bed, you know. Okay, that was one story. And let's go over to Luke 5 and read the same story. I like repetition. It always helps me. They say you have to hear something so many times before it sticks. Okay? With me, I probably have to read just and listen a little more because I don't always go as fast as other people. But I'm working on it. Okay? So Luke 5, verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out from every town of Galilee, Judah and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal all. So the power of the Lord was present to heal all. It didn't matter, just the paraplegic person. It was there. When God's power shows up, it's for everybody who wants to receive it and who has a need. Okay? Verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. Verse 19. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, the four men's faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Okay? So let's think a minute here and talk about, there was a difference in one, the first example I gave you with a woman with the issue of blood. She touched Jesus and was healed. The second one, Jesus saw the friend's faith, and because they brought this man, we don't know his circumstances. I don't know how he got there, other than maybe he said, "Take me," or they said, "Hey, we know somebody that's healing, and you need to hear Jesus," and just picked him up and took him. You know, like good friends would, if you have a problem, they see you've got a problem, they'll just pick you up and take you over to where you can get help. That's what a good friend does. Okay? And so there was two different ways. She went by herself and got it. The second one, the friends took him and he got it. Okay? The first one, Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter who was dying. So he was on his way going someplace. The second one, he was teaching and preaching the word. And always, there's a difference, because when she came to touch him, he was going someplace. He had no intentions of doing anything or getting sidetracked. He was on his way someplace. But he always made time if there was a need. There was a need and she needed help. So he was there. We have a need, we can ask him for help. Okay? Now these friends saw their friend have a need, and they helped. They took him to where he could get help, and he got healed. And now we have a third example in Luke 6. Verse 17, and this is Jesus healed a great multitude. And there was a lot of people there, okay? Verse 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoasts of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. And I could just imagine this. One lady touching you would be fine, but to have a multitude of people knowing that virtue and power was coming out of you, trying to touch you, could damage you. I remember at watching on TV when Reinhard Bonnke was teaching, and he was on a big platform because they had to keep him away from the people. Not that they meant to hurt him, but they wanted to be where he was at. So they were squishing each other, walking over each other, trying to get to him. And he had said at one time he wanted to touch everybody, but he physically could not do it. So virtue went out, and people were healed. I don't know that part yet, but I'm working on it. That when, I remember at a Benny Hinn meeting, when he said, just receive, and he took his hand and went like that, and the whole crowd just flattened like a pancake. They all fell under the power of God. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm not there yet, but it's good to have something to look forward to. There's something to know that when the power of God comes out of you, it flattens people, and but it don't hurt them. It changes them. All their stuff is gone. The baggage they carried all their lives, it's gone. And it was exciting. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll come back to it, okay? And so that was the third example. There was a demand, and they were healed in their bodies. This is the other one. There was a Katherine Coleman show that used to be on TV. And I have a couple books of hers. I thought she was a really strange woman. She was, like she said, she was no beauty. But there was something about her. She loved God, and God just oozed out of her wherever she went. Well, when I was a kid, I used to watch this show. And coming from a good Baptist background, dear God, my parents had a fit. When I turned that show on, I wanted to watch it. As a child, there was in me that I knew this woman knew God. And where I was going, it was pretty dead. But I knew where there was life. But sometimes you can't get to that life because others are in front of you and turn the TV off. And so when they weren't around, I know that this wasn't good as a child, but when they weren't around, I'd run in and sneak in and watch a few minutes of it. Because it was always on Sunday after we had our dinner. And I would go in and listen to her, and she'd said, and well, what happened to you? And they would explain what happened to them, and I'm going, wow, that hasn't happened in our church when I was a kid growing up. I said, how come it happens over here, but it doesn't happen there at our church? Well, that's kids' innocence. Kids are innocent. They don't understand things, but they know what's real. They know what's real. And I knew this woman. I didn't care how funny looking she looked. I didn't know I care about those strange clothes she wore. It wasn't about her clothes. It wasn't about her face. But she had Jesus in her. And that Jesus in her pulled to my spirit. And I knew, You know, I could see it if a child was sneaking off to watch something bad, but when they wanted to watch Catherine Kuhlman and got in trouble, that's not right. Okay? So I used to watch her whenever I could. As a matter of fact, sometimes I didn't want to go to church, so I would fake being ill. Kids are sneaky, okay? And I wasn't ill, but I wanted to stay home so I could watch TV. And so I put the thermometer down by our heat vent, and boy, did I get in trouble. My mom says, honey, you're dead. Get your clothes on. We're going to church. And I went, oh. So, you know, we went to church. Every time the doors were open. And I learned to love God. Not church, but I learned to love God. I didn't much like church. It wasn't much fun. But God was fun. You know, he was fun. Sometimes he gets stuck in churches. And he can't do what he wants to do because he has to. Never mind. Okay. Enough said. And the thing I remember is I read this one book of hers that I got from this Lutheran library where I worked. And the people were healed outside the building before they even got inside the building. And I went, now I don't know how that works, Lord. I thought you only worked inside a building. And to my childlike brain, well, I was older then, but I still had a childlike brain. And I thought, well, I don't understand how that works. Because I thought you had to be inside a building in the church for people to get healed. Now, I was truly naive to the things of God in certain ways, and so it's been a learning experience to learn about God every day. And this was probably 10 years ago, okay? And so I said, okay, Lord, so they're getting healed outside the building before they even get inside the building. Okay? And then once they're inside the building, they're getting healed, and nobody's laying hands on them. I said, okay, Lord, I know you're a big God, but I don't know how that works. And then Catherine Kuhlman, people were getting healed left and right, all kinds of things, walking out of wheelchairs, dropping down crutches, taking prosthesis off, and being able to walk. And I went, now, how is this? How come I don't understand, Lord? And you know, ignorance is not good. Ignorance is not God. So, as I watched the show, and she's just walking on the stage, and it was kind of like she came out on the stage, but she didn't even really know people were there. She was in the presence of God. That people were just a sideline. She was fellowshipping with God on there, and people were getting healed. And it wasn't about her. It was about the presence of God on her and in her that the people were getting healed. And that so impressed me, and it keeps on impressing me, because God uses anybody. If their heart's right, if they're hungry, if they want to know him better, you have your own little relationship with him. Nobody else. It's just you and him. And so I saw the people being healed, and they played songs, and it kind of touched your heart. And if you sit there and you close your eyes, you could just feel the presence of God. And I said, oh, that's how it works. Doesn't matter where you're at. You could be outside, you could be inside. It's the presence of God. Nobody has a patent on God. He can work wherever he wants. If he wants to work outside, he can. If he wants to work inside, he can. It doesn't matter. And I thought, man, God is so good. And then it was the power of God. And then I remember going to a Benny Hinn meeting, like I said earlier. And I'd waited out. I wanted to go. I just wanted to see what was going on, if it was really like it was on TV, or if it was a, you know, a gimmick. It was not a gimmick. We were, Dwayne was at work, and I wanted to go, but man, I had such a violent headache that I could hardly see to drive to get there. And I thought, you know what? That's the devil trying to cheat me out of something. I'm getting there. And I just drove slower. And I got to the Tacoma Dome parking lot. I got there at noon, and they weren't going to start till 7, I think it was. Okay. I was hungry. When you're hungry, it doesn't matter how long you've got to wait. So I got in the parking lot, and I said, you know, Lord, it sure would be nice to have somebody to talk to and sit with, because I was all by myself. And so I was getting out of my car. I looked over at this lady who was getting a lawn chair out of her car, because she was there early too. And I said, hi, my name's Laura, and what's yours? And I met her. Her name was Sandy. And my goodness, that's been a long time ago, quite a while ago. So Sandy and I were talking as she was carrying her lawn chair, and she said, yeah, I wanted to get a good seat. And I said, well, that's why I'm here. So we started talking, and we found out we had the same, we did the same things for work. We worked with people, with the elderly. And I said, and so why did you come? She says, well, I hurt my back picking up a lady. And she said, well, why are you here? And I says, well, I hurt my arm when a window fell on it. And she said, oh. So we were talking back and forth, and we kept on talking as we walked up, and we were up way on the high level outside, and because you can't get in. And if you're in a wheelchair, they'll bring you in early. Or if you were a partner with his ministry, you could come in a little bit early. So we stood out at the door for 6.5 hours. And as we stood there, and she sat and I stood, I made sure I fasted. So there are some smart things to do if you're going to wait that long. You fast. You do drink a little bit of water. Very little, because I didn't know where there was any restrooms. So I was fasting, and I was drinking very little water, and I was praying, and I was talking, and we were fellowshipping. And then more people came in, and they started pressing in closer and closer. It was kind of uncomfortable, but if I stood by her, her chair was a lawn chair, so there was a little room. And we just talked, and this man came by, and he looked pretty bad. He was kind of hunched over, and he was only in his 30s. And so we talked to him. He says, well, what's your problem? Everybody that comes there has got to have some kind of a problem, okay? So we're taking notes here. So what's your problem? And he says, well, I work on air conditioners, and I was up on top of the roof, and somehow it slipped, and I hurt my back really bad. And Sandy says, well, we're here. Laura, get your hands out here. And I hadn't laid hands on people very much, okay? I was just learning about stuff like this. I wasn't going to this church where you learn things like this, okay? And so she's bold. She just lays them hands on his back and starts commanding it to be healed. And I'm holding my hands on it, and I'm going, oh, God. That's why, oh, God. Okay, God. And, you know, it's not a matter of our faith, but God's faith, that if we have that little mustard seed, that connects with them. And so this man felt much better. I don't know if he was totally healed, you know, only he would know. So 6.5 hours is a long time to stand. I knew all the people all around me. I know my first name basis. I know what they were there for. There's many people that go there. Lots of them have tumors. Lots of them have tumors on their brains. Little children. with diseases, if they're not healed, they're going to die. Some of them just weeks. And I went, wow, Lord, I just came for a shoulder. And these people are believing for their lives. And it so impressed me that it doesn't matter what your need is. God meets it. If you're willing to just reach out with your teeny, itty bitty little seed faith and just believe Him. Trust Him that He'll take care of you. So then, I think they let us in at 6:30. When we got in, they had turned away 4,000 people. And I was saying, God, I'm glad I got here early. I could have been one of them 4,000 that waited too late and didn't come early. Okay. I was selfish, okay? But I was there early. And I was glad because we didn't know that 4,000 people had been turned away because we were sitting in the, I think my dad calls it the nosebleed section where you can hardly go any further because there's just a roof, okay? But because Sandy couldn't move fast because of her back, she had that stupid chair. We chucked the chair because I said, Sandy, we're never going to get a chair. We're not going to get in if you don't get rid of this chair. They're not going to let you take it. So we laid the chair over to the side, and we walked up, and we got a couple of the last seats. I think there was a man on this side in the aisle, me, Sandy, and another man, and a family in front that's daughter was there with a tumor on her brain. Okay. It was humbling because people are coming to these meetings like that because they have a need. They're not there just to watch something. They're there to participate in the presence of God. And so as I watched, I mean, I was kind of oogle-eyed because I'm watching everybody. I'm going, whoa, wow, look at that. And people are walking around, and they said, well, they have a ministry team that goes around and prays for people. And so you could have them pray for you. We were up so high, I don't know if anybody ever got up to our spot. But there were people where you could get prayed for. And then the music. Oh, the presence of God in there. Now I know where the multitude were when the power of God was present to heal everybody. If you had faith to get healed, you were getting healed. I don't care. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. If you came to get healed and you wanted to be healed, you were healed. As we watched and listened to the music, and oh, I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. I closed my eyes and I was participating and singing and praising God, and it was just like, oh, the presence of God was just around you. It was so tangible. You could press your hand out and feel there was something there, the presence of God. So I know what these people were feeling when Jesus started preaching. They felt the presence of God. You know when the presence of God is there. You can feel it. It's tangible. There is a tangible presence. And there ain't nothing like it. And so we listened and we heard testimonies. We got to see demons get cast out of somebody on the stage. I wondered why these people all piled up on this person. And because we're so high up, it was kind of hard to see. And they were piled on them. And this person was, we could hear sounds, but it wasn't quite human. And I didn't understand about demons then. Well, I do now. So they got off this person, and the person walked away whole, healed, sane, in their right minds, okay? At first, I thought it was like a football play. Somebody was getting tackled. And I'm here wide-eyed watching everything, and I'm going, is that God? That can't be God. What are they doing up there? I scrutinized And God says, that's okay. Check it out. Check it out. If it's not God, don't believe it. If it's God, you can believe it. So I watched that, and just before we were ready to leave, Benny Hinn says, no, you guys have been so good way up there in this corner. My corner. Yay! He acknowledged, we're there. You know, the little, tiny, little people up there. I think it's like when Dwayne and I flew to Michigan once, looking out the window, seeing the farms. They were just little puny things. And I thought, you know, we must look so puny to God. But he knows the number of our hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. And I went, man, God's so good. Every time I think he can't get better, he gets betterer. Always. It gets bigger. You know? And I went, okay. So he says, okay, everybody hold hands. And I'm going, are you going to bless us and we're going to hold hands? What are you going to do? And so he says, well, you understand, when the power of God comes, if you're not holding hands, people fly up in the air. And I went, ooh, that's neat. That's interesting. I'd like to experience get flying in the air. I'm adventurous at some parts of my body and mind. I would just, that was something neat. So we held hands. I had held hands with a man over here because there was nobody else, and Sandy over here, and I'm waiting. God, I want it. Whatever you're going to give me, I want it. I don't know what it is, but I want it because I know it's you. Okay? So he went and he took his hand and he went, get it! And I got it. We got thrown back in our seats. I never felt the pressure and whoom! And I'm going, what happened? I got it! I got it! Oh God, I got it! I don't know what I got, but I got it, God! And so the next morning, the next day, after I got home, I don't know if I shared with Dwayne this, but the next day, because I had been out of work for a couple months because of my shoulder, because my hand didn't work, my arm didn't work. I tried to pick up a pencil and it would just fall out. It didn't work, and I thought, God, I don't want to go my whole life with this appendage just hanging around. What do you do with a hand and arm that doesn't work? I didn't know. The doctors, like the woman, spent all that she had. Well, I had L&I. God, thank you for L&I. Because I was labor and industries, for you who don't understand that. And I had a wonderful social worker. And I called her and I said, I don't remember her name, but it's been too long ago. I went to the doctor and he said, there's nothing more they can do for me. I says, what am I going to do? I got to work. And this arm doesn't work. She found some place to send me for broken down people. Okay? I'm telling you, if you don't know God, you try to find something. Relief, whatever. Okay? So they sent me to this doctor. Oh, bless his. Oh, I just bless this man. Because you see this hand? You see this arm? It's working. It's been working. And it's going to continue to work until I don't need it anymore. Because I'll be in heaven. It'll be better. Perfect. And, it was absolutely wonderful. I just started praying. And I said, Lord, I've got to have my arm. So you know what they did? They hooked me up to this little machine. It's called a TENS unit. And I would walk around to, like, you can't see it on the tape, but believe me, it's funny. I'd go like this, and people thought something was wrong with me. Well, it was. Something was wrong, but this unit, I had to turn it up so high to get rid of the pain that my arm jerked around by itself. Hilarious. Now I can laugh about it. Then I was going, oh, God, I hurt so bad. Can't you do something for me? And sure, just jerk around, you know. So here I'm trying to clean houses. How do you clean houses and your arm is going like this? You know, very difficult. But but it breaks things too, okay? And so I just said, Lord, this can't happen to me. I don't want this. And so I started praying. I said, you know, Lord, I saw that Benny Hinn place that you heal people. See, I hadn't been to this church yet to know this. I was learning by experience, practical experience as I go. And so, because Baptists don't believe in healing, or the ones I went to did not believe in healing. So I'm figuring I'm just going to be a wounded wing. Okay? Well, after going to Benny Hinn's, I said, Lord, Benny Hinn's not the healer. He said that. But you're the healer, and I need to be healed. So what's the matter with me? Why? I said, God, I want to be healed. And it was like, okay. So you want to be healed? All I did was close my eyes. I said, I want to be healed. Well, I got a partial healing. That's better than nothing, I thought. Okay. And then my husband went to Fort Flagler, that's right. And this man, he's been, oh my goodness, he's been how many different types of minister? He was a Catholic priest.
That was the last one.
Okay, he was the last, was a Catholic priest. Well, they had these little wafers. And by this time, he was spirit-filled, born again. And he made these wafers for people. It's not the wafer, it's the point of contact. And he prayed for him, over him. But it's the point of contact. I had to have something for my faith to connect to. Okay, sometimes you need something to connect your faith with. And so I took this wafer. I said, okay, doggone it. I got that partial healing. I want all of it because I got things to do, places to go. Okay, so I ate this wafer and I said, well, Lord, ugh. This tastes terrible. But I ate it. He said it was in his Bible for 3 months before he gave it to me. Great man of faith. Hallelujah. So I ate a stale wafer and I got healed. Praise God. But you know, God's so good. He is wonderful. His God is outrageously fine. Mm. And so, I guess I do have to bring this to a close. So we're going to... All good things do come to a close. So this is our close. Whew, Acts 5. Oh, I got to find Acts. Phew. Hallelujah, Lord. Acts 5. And we're gonna look at, let's see, 5, verse 12. Whew. Hallelujah. This is a conclusion. It says it's here, continuing power in the church. That's good. Okay. And there were, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all in one accord on Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them because the people, but the people highly esteemed them. The believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multiplied of both men and women. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds, couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passed by, all and fall on some of them. Also, the multitude gathered from around surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people. You know, when there's news of healings, sick people come. I don't know where they come from, but they just come. So there, we got sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. This was by the hands of the apostles, Acts 5, 12 through 16. But, you know, I think, well, God, you know, I don't think I'm an apostle. Nobody's told me anything. But that's okay. There's deacons. And I said, okay, so let me find out where the deacons is. Acts 6, 8. Okay, Acts 6, 8. Stephen was a deacon. He fed the little old ladies who were getting gypped out of food. when they came to church. Some of the others would get more, and some of them wouldn't get any. Okay? And you can imagine when you're hungry and you're a little old lady and you don't have any income, it's nice that people give you an amount of food to have. Okay? So this was Stephen's job. Okay? Verse 8, chapter 6. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So I thought, okay, I'm an elder. That's good. But deacons, and it says in there believers in another place. I forgot to write that one down.
But,
okay, yeah, let's go there. Mark chapter 16. I couldn't find it, so I skipped it. But let's not skip it. Mark 16, and where is it? Oh, yeah. It's the Great Commission. Verse 14 of Mark 16. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm a creature. I got the gospel taught to me. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And those signs will follow those who believe. So if you believe, signs are going to follow you. Let it be the good ones. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, not because they want to, because it happened like Paul, okay? When he reached into the fire, the snake latched onto him, okay? And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. So, believers, it doesn't matter what your station in life or what God has called you to do. Believers, I'm a believer. When you lay hands on people, they're going to get healed. But you know what? You have to build your faith up. Build it up. Keep building your faith up. Read things about healing. Read things about people and testimonies of what happened to other people. They're people. You're a people. Things can happen for you.
Amen.
Okay? Whew. And then, I want to walk like Peter walked. When people, I don't want to miss this part. When Peter walked outside among the people, the same power that was inside the church stayed on him. Hallelujah. It stayed on him. And the world will see the power of God in his people, us, when we live like Jesus and do what Jesus did. Hallelujah. So when you leave here, I'm believing for you, if you can't believe for yourself, that the power of God is on you. And the next person that you talk to, you're going to just love them. Jesus loved them. And if they have any infirmities, you can say, you know what? Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you? That's an opening. I've never had anybody say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. And then when I start praying for them, I said, okay, can I just lay my hand on you? They don't know what I'm doing. But the power of God goes through them. Okay? And they feel the power of God and they go, whoa, what's up? And then you can open the scriptures to them and you can say, hey, do you want to know this, Jesus, that you just felt that power? And then you have an open door to tell them about Jesus and how they can have that power too. Hallelujah.